Brian Hodgen, who has developed top-quality set files for WindowEyes, has now turned his hand to JAWS for Windows scripting. He released enhanced scripts for Microsoft Word this week that add to the functionality of the scripts that ship with JAWS for Windows. The scripts add means of accurately reading point size and style, together with bold, italic, and underline attributes, either individually or together. You can listen to the margin settings of a document, the page number in focus, the total number of pages, the total number of words, and the text alignment. For further accuracy, especially when centering text, a keystroke has been added to hear the cursor position from the left edge of the document. The scripts also allow a user to browse through recurring occurrences of a word without moving the cursor, and listen to the added confirmation of styles, including headings and normal, when the standard Microsoft shortcut keys are used. Brian will be developing new scripts, which can all be obtained from his website at www.hartgen.org. That's www.hartgen.org. Offering an end to their epic legal battle, the Justice Department and Microsoft Corp asked a judge on Friday to approve a settlement of antitrust charges that would set new rules for the nation's hard-hit technology industry. The deal would require Microsoft to give independent monitors full access to its books and plans for 5 years to ensure compliance and to provide information to help rivals make products compatible with its dominant Windows operating software. United States Attorney General John Ashcroft and Microsoft founder Bill Gates hailed the settlement, saying it would help the sagging economy. Computer manufacturers and software developers will be free to do business with Microsoft's competitors without fear of retaliation, Ashcroft said. United States District Judge Colleen Colacotelli agreed to review the settlement and gave states involved in the case until Tuesday to decide if they would accept the plan. The Redmond, Washington-based software maker, credited with the drive of the technology revolution of the last decade, would be prohibited from entering exclusivity deals with computer sellers that disadvantaged competitors, the government said. Microsoft would also allow a panel of 3 independent experts to reside on its premises and work full-time to ensure the software giant complied with the settlement, justice officials said. The experts would have access to the source code, that is, the blueprint of Microsoft's Windows software. But the Massachusetts Attorney General says his state will not sign on to the proposed settlement in the antitrust case against Microsoft because it doesn't protect competing software makers. Microsoft will use this agreement to crush competition, Attorney General Thomas F. Riley said on Sunday. He says Massachusetts will not approve the agreement without major changes. And the European Commission's antitrust case against Microsoft will continue unaffected by the software giant settlement with the US Department of Justice last week, according to EC officials. So Microsoft by no means out of the woods yet. And still on Microsoft, it is making repairs after acknowledging that its Passport technology for safeguarding purchases on the internet has a serious design flaw that might have allowed hackers to steal credit card numbers and personal information. Microsoft said 2 million customers use the vulnerable e-wallet feature of Passport, and there was no evidence of actual theft. The company temporarily shut down access to virtual wallets last Wednesday, inconveniencing buyers at roughly 70 e-commerce websites that support the technology called Express Purchase. Up to 200 million people have signed up for Passports. Passport promises consumers a single convenient method for identifying themselves across different websites. And despite heavy marketing, luxurious freebies, and various rebates, Windows XP appears to be trailing Windows 98 in terms of early sales. Fewer than 300,000 boxed copies of the new operating system were sold in the first few days after its availability, according to preliminary figures from NPD Intellect, which has polled roughly 80% of its retailers and mail-order clients about XP. The US web conferencing market is said to be growing rapidly as jittery business executives opt out of traveling by air. According to Frost and Sullivan, the web conferencing market will have revenues of around $110 million this year. That's up 75% from last year's total of $62 million. British Telecom has suspended the rollout of ADSL across its network while it attempts to boost the take-up of high-speed internet access at existing broadband-enabled exchanges. Having made around 1,000 local exchanges ADSL ready, BT has no immediate plans to make the technology available in any other exchanges until it sees clear signs that customers will pay for it. It is instead concentrating on a nationwide advertising campaign targeted at those who can already access the service at present. In a move that would enable it to directly compete with cable providers, network TV operators and satellite companies, British Telecommunications has applied for a broadcasting license. If BT were to attain the license, it would be able to offer its customers video on demand as well as other broadcast services via its local loop copper lines that connect about 21 million homes. A California court has dealt a potentially serious setback to the movie industry's attempt to rid the online world of software that can help break through copy protection on DVDs. The appeals court released a decision last Thursday, overturning an earlier order that barred hundreds of people from publishing the code for a software program called DECCS online. Posting the code is just like publishing other types of controversial speech and is protected by the Constitution, the appellate judges said. Although the social value of DECCS may be questionable, it is nonetheless pure speech, the decision reads. Our respect of the legislature and its enactment of the trade secrets law cannot displace our duty to safeguard the rights guaranteed by the First Amendment, the decision reads. The decision, while not a final one on the legality of the software program, nevertheless marks a severe blow for the movie industry's legal battle against online threats. Hollywood studios have contended that software that can break through their anti-piracy techniques is simply a tool and doesn't warrant free speech protection. A federal judge has agreed with much of that reasoning. The California Appeals Court ruling, though, on Thursday goes the furthest to date in explicitly defining software code as speech. Under that legal reasoning, programmers could still be prosecuted for posting illegal software, but couldn't be prevented from doing so in the first place. The cookie, a simplistic identification tag that most internet users unknowingly carry when surfing the web, runs the risk of being outlawed under a proposed privacy directive from the European Union. The legislation has triggered concern in Europe's internet advertising community. The Interactive Advertising Bureau of the United Kingdom, IAB, said British companies could lose up to £187 million, that's US$272.1 million, if the directive is ratified. Cookies have been branded as spyware tools or some kind of subversive software, Danny Meadows-Clue, chairman of the IAB United Kingdom, said, but it's what we use every day. The IAB has marshalled support from its members across Europe to launch a lobbying effort it calls Save Our Cookies. Mr. Meadows-Clue admitted that the name sounds a bit childish, but said the ramifications of the EU's directive were serious. It could result in the loss of more jobs and more businesses failing in the beleaguered internet sector, he said. Mr. Meadows-Clue said the abolition of the cookie, an early internet technology designed for the first web browsers, could have an adverse impact on e-commerce and online advertising sales, the primary revenue sources for all internet businesses. The legislation winding through the EU Parliament claims the cookie is a threat to consumers' personal privacy, as it collects data on their comings and goings without asking for their consent. Computer experts say cookies are an essential piece of internet browsing architecture. The technology allows for the storage of basic identifying information in a web user's browser, gleaned from the site a user visits. And finally, Afghanistan's Taliban government, which declared the internet unholy and banned its use for millions of Afghan citizens last June, maintained a website until shortly after the 11th of September terrorist attacks, and still has at least one email address through its embassy in Pakistan. The DNS entry for the Taliban's website currently points to the null IP address 127.0.0.1, but before the 11th of September, it directed users to the official page of the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan, an austere multi-layered website hosted by brain.net.pk, a Pakistan ISP with a server farm in Singapore. The most recent version of the website, resurrected by Google's cache, puts a surprisingly moderate face on the regime. The website offers its readers interviews with Taliban leaders, investment opportunities in various Afghanistan businesses, and even includes a section for questions and comments. It would be most interesting to be able to read those. And that's news briefs for another week.